Maybe it's time to let the old ways down.
And we're back. Welcome once again to another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar. I'm your co-host, Mike One. This co-host, also Mike.
Also Mike here. We're not in a gondola in the Venice waterways, but we wish we were.
Is this your way of implicating, like, you want a new studio set up? Because I'm not against it.
We didn't go to Toronto, and, like, they have underground shopping malls where they walk when it's all ice out there.
I feel like Toronto is just so far advanced of anything we have anymore. Like, they wanted to become an American city, phenomenal. And then they just surpassed it.
It's phenomenal. We didn't go there either.
No.
We didn't go to Telluride. We don't ski. We just become human snowballs falling down the hill.
I am a human snowball.
I tried skiing once.
Yeah, did you?
I couldn't even stand up on the goddamn thing.
I've never.
Human snowball.
My feet need to be on the ground for me to have any success doing anything, and even then,
I heard my brother John, if he's listening right now, he was such a hit with the group that he went skiing with.
Oh, God.
Because he couldn't turn. Everybody would do their run, and then they would wait for John to come down, just coming straight down, like breakneck speed, just running into things. He's lucky. Just terrible. Where are we? What's happening?
Anyway.
No, but we didn't go to any of the film festivals. We did all our research, and yeah.
Yeah, we're doing this secondhand, but we're doing a Hollywood hot take, something we have not done in a couple months now. More than a couple, actually. But we wanted all the Telluride. Venice is done. Toronto's done. What do we have on the... New York is coming up at the end of the month, so I figure this is kind of a good spot to recap everything that we've seen, heard, and read throughout the internet and throughout the gossip pages, if you will. Kind of give you a new perspective of where the Oscar picture lies. We're going to go through some other topics as well, but this is a Hollywood hot take, new and improved, covering September of 2018, again, after a couple film festivals before the New York one gets underway,
right.
And we wanted to just basically touch on some highlights and some lowlights and tell you guys what we're thinking.
We did have three best popular film kind of breaking news episodes,
yes.
Perfect Fix. We did a movie pass thing. So we did four news episodes the last couple months. That's why we kind of didn't do a hot takes. But so here we are today with a film festival roundup and some superhero stuff at the end. So,
yes. Yeah. Yes, we're going to try to do it all in a cohesive manner, but
after the 14-minute rant at the top
our best
of the show.
Efforts, yeah. Let's start with Venice. That was the first one on the docket. Guardian had
my
a nice...
brother can't ski. did you know, Mike?
Guardian had
I
a nice write-up.
I can't ski either.
Never getting anywhere today. Guardian had a nice write-up about what happened with Venice, with the gondolas and all those pleasant things happening in that lovely city over there. The Venice Film Festival, Venice, was beefed up a little bit by the Netflix selections. They added their usual lineup of Oscar contenders there. Roma was the unlikely star. Unlikely, likely, depends on your looking at it, but Alfonso Cuarón seems to have another hit on his hands here.
I mean, Cannes didn't get these movies, right?
Right.
And now they come to Venice, and Roma steals the whole show. Golden Lion, baby.
Is that a surprise, I wonder? I didn't think Roma... I knew it would be Best Picture adjacent, but it seems to be a pretty heavyweight contender now.
People were talking about it months ago, like it was not going to even be eligible for the Oscars after the whole Cannes fiasco.
That,
we were reporting what the other people were saying on IndieWire, etc. And now it is a major contender for Best Picture and many other awards. Perhaps Best Director, we'll talk about it with Feinberg.
It is amazing to see. And again, Cuarón seems to have another winner on his hand, but it did win the Golden Lion out there at the Venice Film Festival. Last year, The Shape of Water won the Golden Lion as well. But before that, the previous Best Picture winner at the Oscars to win the Golden Lion was nobody, because it didn't happen.
Right.
So this is not necessarily a precursor of Best Picture success.
And even if it was, even if Best Picture winners are scattered into previous winners of other film festivals, I still don't think with the changing academy, with different world that we're living in, I don't think it matters that much. But you're never going to find one-to-one with these festivals.
Oh, absolutely not. No, the best you can do is correlation and trends. I totally agree
absolutely.
With that.
Absolutely. Ballad of Buster Scruggs was also in there,
I feel
Michael.
Like you're very, very excited for that.
I like the Coen brothers a lot over the years, so I'm in for it. I think you're a little soured by James Franco being in it, and
I'm
I get
by that.
That.
I'm soured also by my harrowing experience with No Country for Old Men, which is my biggest Best Picture protest, and I've been really avoiding ever doing that retrospective.
Oh, that's why
to prove myself wrong. Yeah, because
I
know
when
I go back.
You're a Lebowski guy, though, aren't you?
I'm not anti Coen brothers. I did like The Big Lebowski. I like Burn After Reading. Thought that was hilarious. Brad Pitt was great in that. So I'm not an anti-Coens guy, but man, I was so angry the first time I saw No Country for Old Men.
Me too. Me and Willem, we were in the same audience. Did I mention that? 17 times.
Yeah. Me and what's his last name?
William. I call him William.
Right, of course, yes. Yeah. It's on his text message. So yeah, Netflix titles, Roma, 22 July, Paul Greengrass was there, Ladies, Orson Welles film, which is another big Netflix kind of claimed that one out of nowhere. There wasn't really a lot of
hype. There's no way that could be good, can it? I mean, they buried it for a reason.
Same way you do. I feel like if that was something he wanted everyone to see, he would have made sure everyone saw it, but... Uh-huh. It's there. It's going to be on Netflix, so we'll see how it is. Other names that came out of Venice. The Sisters Brothers was apparently a big hit. Jacques Audelard won the Silver Lion for Best Director. It carries an 86% right now, a 7.4 out of 10 critics consensus on Rotten Tomatoes, 78 Metascore. You love that song.
That song better be in it. It's in the trailer. That would be so cool. It'd be like Westworld.
Could be lied to like Mission Impossible, though, where that Imagine Dragon song just was nowhere to be
found. I'll just have it in my head the whole movie, and that'll be good enough.
Bum, bum, run away!
I'm in for this movie. I'm in.
Again, one of the more cinematic trailers that I've ever seen, so I am interested. I'm not a big Westerns fan, but John C. Reilly, Joaquin Phoenix, a lot of talent attached. Probably the four leads are getting a lot of like great momentum.
Gyllenhaal and Riz Ahmed. Yeah. And yeah, John C. Reilly has apparently got serious buzz. Joaquin Phoenix came out last week and said it's like one of his favorite performances ever.
Oh.
Someone said that. Yeah,
that's a nice accreditation. The favorite, Yorgos Lanthimos, won the Grand Special Jury Prize. Reviews after the festivals for this feature, a 91 Metascore, 96% Rotten Tomato score right now, 8.8 out of 10 average critic score. My lord, are those high numbers.
And then people that I know watched this trailer with me over the weekend, hated it.
I was surprised,
right? And then I thought, well, it's Yorgos, so
right. Which
are they sensing something that I'm used to now?
Could be. That's a good point. I mean, maybe we're so inundated with the lobsters of the world.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of this movie, somebody could get turned into a Cornish hen. We don't know. Not that that happens in The Lobster, but that's
the original title.
Watch
the
first
favorite Cornish
15
hen,
minutes
yes.
of The Lobster, and you'll know what I'm talking about. It's in the it's premise information.
Still, there's a lot to love from that trailer, I would think, just on the surface of it.
But it's also kind of evil, so...
It is. There are some definite undertones.
We're evil men.
Yeah, it's also true, yes. Okay. Nothing but facts here. Sunset, another foreign film making waves in Venice. Reviews are a bit mixed. It's kind of making noise for all different reasons. It's from Nimitz, the director of Son of Saul, 54% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7 out of 10 average critics rating, though, 71 Metascore, so that kind of is all over the place.
I can't do math. I just go cross-eyed. Mm. I'm like the guy in Sacha Baron Cohen, Who's America, doing the math for Bernie Sanders there. Still makes me laugh. We had the 99% to the 1%.
You've had a lot of Sasha. You like that show. You've had a lot of those references in here lately.
There's some jokes that kill me. Yeah, God darn it. Anyway, 54% with 70s
and
the
Metascores. Yeah.
I don't
really
get
weird.
How that happens. I think so. People have to give it hundreds, and other people have to give it 50s, but then there's so many more 50s than hundreds.
It would seem that way, I guess.
40s, 30s.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it would weigh out. Yeah, it's kind of like I kind of like going by the Metascore because that seems to me to be the most accurate as far as what I've gotten into. You know, Rotten Tomatoes can kind of get swept away with the crowd favorite stuff. IMDb, you never know if somebody's carrying a grudge or works for the studio or who knows what. Metascore, it seems to be fairly independent. Obviously, I don't know all these critics, but you seem to get a good range of. Like to 25s, which I think is abhorrent,
I may or may not listen to you on that, but I think that's a good point for our audience members. Sometimes I zone out when you tell me to do things, but
all the time.
We'll see what happens.
Vox Lux was also there. It was another one we mentioned in our previous Oscar trailer review. We just saw the teaser for it, but people have seen the movie.
Yeah, we mentioned the numbers in the last episode there.
Natalie Portman doing her best Lady 80s, Gaga cosplay. She's also apparently an unlikable singer, I read somewhere.
Oh, really?
She's not going to be a very, very fan favorite or very lovey-dovey type person. I'm kind of interested. I'd like to see her play
a little. Poker face.
Oh, I see what you did there.
That's the worst joke on the history of the show right there.
Suspiria's numbers also.
If I sang it, it might have been better.
You should have. You really just got to go for the gusto sometimes. And also come in with half your face painted. Suspiria's numbers are a little weird as well. 55% on Rotten Tomato, but an 8 out of 10 average critic score.
Well, here is that salve of a Metascore solution that you just had. makes sense.
Yeah, 76 Metascore.
You got 50s, you got 80s, you got 70s.
And I would want something like The Favorite or like Suspiria to have kind of a wide array of scores and reviews, because I don't think those are supposed to be made for everybody's enjoyment. Right?
True. And it's a three-hour movie, isn't it?
Yeah, they added an hour to the original cut, which is something to behold.
It's like 245 or something crazy. 235, it's up there.
I can't wait to suffer a seizure after watching that movie or during watching that movie for that long, that intense and that long of exposure to just what should be pure mayhem, rustic mayhem, apparently, by going by this color palette that Guadagnino decided to go with. It's going to be interesting.
I love the last few Guadagnino movies, so I'm in.
Star is Born. I mean, I'm already sick of this one, but this is the big one that everybody's loving and everybody's got all kinds of things to say about. I'm going to have a little rant about it later, but...
Do you really?
There's no doubt that this one is the heavy favorite in the clubhouse by a lot of people's books. Bradley Cooper won the Collateral Award, currently carries an 87 Metascore, 96 on Rotten Tomatoes, 8.1 out of 10 average critic. I mean, could it have higher numbers going for it right now?
It's got a great trailer, as we've mentioned. I hate the TV spots, for the record. I don't know why. Every single time I see a TV spot, I don't watch a lot of TV.
Yeah.
But for like a sporting event, like I watched a Giants game this weekend. I saw...
Dumping money into this one, yeah.
You know, everywhere. Bad Times at the El Royale. I saw this TV spot. They're terrible compared to the trailers. We've been breaking down these trailers.
Yeah.
We love those.
The trailer was very cinematic, but this one's kind of... You're getting the sense that they're really selling Bradley Cooper's character in these little spots. Because they don't need to sell Lady Gaga's character at all, right? She's a diamond in the rough singer who has a beautiful voice.
And
yeah,
I like Dave Chappelle, supporting cast member, being story being told.
Hear
Sam
that
Elliott.
Speech one more time.
Yeah, come on.
Maybe you just found yourself. You go out to the water.
I've never been worried about you before. He's a raging alcoholic in that story. I mean, I get it, what they're trying to set you up for. That's not something the other trailers have been emphasizing necessarily.
No. And Sam Elliott, I haven't seen much at all in the trailers, as a matter of fact, but he's getting some love from Feinberg. We'll get into it. By the way, that's not a cut from the movie. He's just on the side getting at catering. First Man was nominated for a Golden Lion. It came away with an 87% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.7 average critic score, and 83 Metascore. This is another heavy one that we think is going to be carrying a couple nominations with it come Oscars time.
Yeah, I'm in for this movie. I can't wait to see what Damien Chazelle does next. I loved his last few. I know the controversy kind of sours things a little bit for some people.
Yep.
I saw a trailer the other day. Well, TV spot, again, TV spot, where he's got a big American flag on his arm. So I might be coming over to your side here, Mike.
Fine.
You don't show the flag, but they're patriotic in many other ways. I'm sure that there's a flag everywhere.
Which is kind of my point, even though you said it more succinctly than I ever could just now. I don't think the point that you're going to know it's an American in space on the moon.
I'm just saying, you know, there's nothing wrong with being patriotic, sure. Is all I'm saying. So if in a movie we're celebrating the patriotism of a space program, there's nothing wrong with having American flags involved. But if there's no American flags in the movie, am I a little annoyed, or at least do I see their point? Yes. But I've seen them in the freaking TV spots.
There you go. All right. Come on over, baby, like Christina Aguilera once said. So A Star is Born and First Man are kind of the two heavy, heavy favorites. We think The Favorite is ironically going to be a favorite as well. That's kind of gotten a lot of momentum as it is.
Spelled wrong favorite, but yeah. Well,
spelled correctly, depending on how you view the English language.
Favorite.
They had it first, you know.
Or Favorite.
Honorable mentions coming out of Venice as well. The Nightingale, to follow up to Jennifer Kent's The Babadook. The IMDb synopsis reads as such. Set in 1825, Claire, a young Irish convict woman, chases a British officer through the rugged Tasmanian wilderness, bent on revenge for a terrible act of violence he committed against her family. On the way, she enlists the services of an Aboriginal tracker named Billy, who is also marked by trauma from his own violent-filled past.
Seems intense.
That's juicy, yeah.
The Babadook was intense. Psychological thriller and a horror movie.
It was one of those, another one that got all the hype of new best horror movie of all time. It's great. It was a really solid horror movie.
Overhyped, I would agree. Yeah. I didn't like it as much, but it was undeniably good. And Kent, I'm in for seeing what she does next. Serious drama mixed into the horror. I like the fact that she's going full period piece here, too. I just saw Sweet Country, which is out in the outback there. It was a pretty darn good movie this year. I gave it a B+, 86. And now we have an Irish convict in the outback, but it's also a horror movie, and you got a tracker. Oh, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, it's certainly got enough of an intense premise to kind of put meat on the bone.
People raved about it in multiple articles I saw, so The Nightingale.
Yeah, keep your eye out for that one. Oliver Assayas, who's the director of Personal Shopper, he debuted nonfiction with Juliette Binoche.
or Olivier Assayas.
As it carries an 84 meta rating, 90% Rotten Tomato, 7.1 out of 10 average. 90% with a 7.1 average. So it's really, these numbers, these Rotten Tomato numbers are really kind of out of whack right now with the festivals just being done.
It makes sense that we got some disparity now with all the numbers being far apart and whatnot. You only have 20 critics or 10 critics sometimes. So
you don't know how full those theaters are. And it's going to come down to when... how eyes get on the product too, and what eyes do get on the product to see which one of these is going to take off and really make it stand. A Personal Shopper, by the way, I loved it last year. I thought Kristen Stewart was amazing in it. She made my top five for the best actress list.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one too. It was good,
really, really good, really well written too. Willem Dafoe won Best Actor for At Eternity's Gate. He beat out Ryan Gosling and Bradley Cooper for that honor. This seems to be something that
first round goes to Dafoe.
Yeah, seems to be what a lot of people are expecting. And again, Willem Dafoe is one of those guys that everyone kind of wants to win his first Academy Award, wants to get that Best Actor look. So this could be it.
He's haggard. He's emaciated. We just reviewed the trailer. Yeah. Oscar trailer's four there. Yeah, I think I'm in for seeing all three of these movies, of course. And it makes sense based on the trailers, I would say now. And I would watch these movies and probably vote for Bradley Cooper at the end. I don't know.
We'll see. Lemming. Olivia Colman won the Best Actress for The Favorite. She beat out Lady Gaga, Natalie Portman. She seems to be the one that if you're going to pick someone to be nominated from The Favorite for the Best Actress category, it would seem to be her over her two probably more well-known co-stars in Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz.
Tells us that she's the lead in the film. So now we get Olivia Colman in the Best Actress category and the other two probably vying for the Best Supporting.
I find it interesting, by the way, that The Favorite is going to lead New York's film festival when it kicks off in a couple weeks. And they already had its world premiere and its world debut at Venice. I wonder if that happens often. There's a lot of overlap like that, but I just found that curious because there's other movies that are playing at New York that already debuted in Venice as well, but they're not featured prominently on the first night.
Yeah, I do think it happens a fair amount over the years. It's rare. I don't want to say it's rare for a debut at NYFF on an opening night, but there's definitely movies that come out a lot in New York Film Festival that a week or two later they come out in theaters. I've seen that happen many times before. I only went for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, you've been. I mean, that's pretty cool. We were batting around the idea of going ourselves this year trying to get tickets, but maybe next year.
Maybe next year. That's maybe a next year kind of thing. But I guess I'll take the lead on Telluride here,
Let's
Mike.
Let's do it.
New York Times articles talking about the major winners from the festival. Cold War definitely came away with some serious numbers. 93%, 8.3, 90 Metascore.
Yeah, currently sitting in Feinberg's top 10. Makes me happy, but I'm also surprised. I mean, this is a black and white foreign feature, and we're going to get maybe two black and white foreign features in the Best Picture race?
Director
this in Roma?
Ida. I mean, the last Polakowski movie was pretty darn good and definitely an Oscar favorite. I'm in for this movie. We talked about the trailer a few episodes back.
Yeah. I don't see any reason why not. This only made me more curious to see it. Yeah. Again, that trailer was very simplistic and very kind of bare bones, but
90 Metascore.
Yeah, that's high marks.
Boy Erased, 88%, 7.3 Rotten Tomatoes, 68 Metascore. That's a little more confusing on the numbers.
That Metascore thing again. And Metascore Best Pictures are usually in those high 70s, low 80s range. Again, it depends on what you're going to follow, because obviously if you're going to follow the Rotten Tomatoes, the tomato meter, this is a high ranking movie. If you're going to follow Metacritic, it might be a little concern here.
So Hedges got Boy Erased out there. He's got mid-90s, he's a bully. Boy Erased, he's a troubled teen for sure. And in Ben Is Back, he's an even more troubled teen. So he's three different levels of the troubled teen spectrum.
Yeah.
Is he like what's the reverse, the opposite of a prom king of all these festivals?
Is it a good thing or a bad thing to compare someone to Pauly Shore at this point? That he's just in everything, like in the early 90s.
But he's got three movies at
he's
all
everywhere.
These festivals right now. It's crazy. Can You Ever Forgive Me? 100%. This is the Melissa McCarthy movie, or the Book Forger, the Note Forger.
Interested to see this one, too.
Right, 7.7 critic score on Rotten Tomatoes, 83 Metascore. That's a high Metascore.
When this first came out, I remember seeing disappointed reviews. So I'm surprised that the ranking sites that we use and we reference often are that strong on it. I didn't expect that. I'm happy for it. I am interested in it. I do hope McCarthy finds her momentum with this.
Richard E. Grant getting some buzz we'll talk about
later
well in the co-starring role. Destroyer, 83%. This is the Nicole Kidman, a detective. I don't know if she's a retired detective, but she is going to basically have to run in the circles that she was running in when she was an undercover police officer back in the day.
This is Film Twitter's favorite picture right now. Yeah, is that Nicole Kidman slumped over, sitting
like
on
full
the
full monster?
I could not. You can't get it. If you do hashtag Film Twitter, I guarantee within the first like 20 pictures, you will see this picture of Nicole Kidman.
83%, 6.8, 62 Metascore, so an 8, 8s and 60, 80s, 60s, I don't know, not as high as we might hope.
Even if you're debuting at 83, that's kind of worrisome, I would say. Mm-hmm. I don't know, on a tomato meter scale anyway, but I wonder if it's time for Nicole Kidman to kind of just take some time off. I do wonder.
She's winning too many Emmys. And
well, she's great, right? She's been aces for so long, yeah. But in the film world, she's kind of had these tangentially almost Oscar
pictures. Have you seen
Sunset
Boulevard, Michael?
No.
You can't take too much time away from your fans.
I didn't get all the pictures. What's the quote there?
It's the pictures that got small.
I stayed big. The pictures got small.
Peterloo, 69 Metascore, 64%, 6.3. Kind of in consensus there in the sixes for the Mike Lee movie about a true event in the whatever hundreds.
Yeah, look, no disrespect to Mike Lee. I really respect his style of filmmaking, his style of script writing, as a matter of fact, because I think it's really helps get the actors
we like
input.
His other movies, yeah. Other than
my god this looked boring.
Yeah, the trailer, they're just walking around. Mr. Turner's very boring, even though yeah, Mr. Turner is the most boring movie I've ever seen.
I hated that movie with a passion.
I'm sorry, it's like watching paint dry, literally.
It's
the
not
movie.
Yeah. All right.
And then he's nasty to women for the other 3 hours and 45 minutes.
What a unique take on a character.
The Front Runner, 64%, 6.2, 67 Metascore. Those numbers weren't as high as we wanted.
No, we covered this in a previous episode as well, looking at the trailer that finally debuted. But yeah, this is worrisome, isn't it? Hugh Jackman was seen as a lock to be in the nomination conversation.
He's still getting buzzed about, but it doesn't seem like... I mean, this movie could fall off the map pretty easily. We just saw life itself just go.
Which, by the way, where are they getting all those positive reviews that they peppered into the new trailer for Life Itself?
I don't know.
I mean, they
didn't come from
us. The quotes are everywhere. I couldn't believe it. But yeah, that's a great comparison.
Hey, do you want to go out Friday night? If I go out with you Friday night, we're going to go out for the rest of our lives. Happily ever after, baby.
How do you know that? That's a really weird thing
this
to
is
say.
Us. I mean, life itself is worth us. Living when you're in it. No, the trailer looked ridiculous. The trailer looked ridiculous. I'm sorry.
I'm not dying to see that.
So, yeah, I'm glad the critics came down on it. Good. Negativity against life itself.
Something I was against, I'm starting to come around in, though. Old Man and the Gun. I respect Robert Redford too much to hate it. I hated that first trailer. I thought it looked so cliche and boring. But
these numbers are high, though.
The numbers are starting to win me over, yeah.
84 Metascore. That's the big number that gets you. 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.2.
High across the board. I mean, there's nothing to gripe about there. If it is his go-away picture, I tend to doubt it. But if it is, it seems like he's going out on a high note. He's got the combo there with Sissy Spacek in the movie, so a lot of people are going to be happy to see them together.
Casey Affleck's in it, which we're not thrilled about. Yep. But John David Washington's in it as well, which we love.
We are
in Black Klansman.
Yeah,
so I don't know. We're kind of hit and miss on the cast. And David Lowery did a ghost story. Did a lot of good stuff. Ain't Them Body Saints. Rooney Mara's been in everything he's done. I don't know if she's in this. I love Rooney Mara anyway, but David Lowery's made a lot of good movies, so I would tend to think it's going to be solid. So, Mike, you're going to take the lead on TIFF here.
Yeah, so the Toronto International Film Festival just wrapped up. It was that 10-day affair, just cleaned up house on September 16th. It was the last day they were showing films, and the big shock that came out yesterday during the awards presentation was that Green Book defeated both A Star Is Born and If Beale Street Could Talk to win the People's Choice Award. IndieWire was the first place I saw it, but it's been all over the internet, all over social media, so I'm going to have something to say about A Star Is Born in relation to this, but let's get your takes on Green Book. Mahershala Ali, Viggo Mortensen, we covered the trailer on it in a previous episode. It won the People's Choice Award here at Toronto.
If you look at all the past winners, they've been Oscar winners at the end of the day. Not necessarily for Best Picture, but they usually come away with Hardware. Silver Linings Playbook, 2012, Jennifer Lawrence, 12 Years a Slave, won a lot of things. Room with Brie Larson, La Land, 3 Billboards last year, Best Supporting Actor and Best Actress. So these movies that win Audience Award at TIFF typically contend.
Yeah, go on to Oscar Gold. And they seem to focus on the right small indie heavy drama. Mm-hmm. That kind of rises from the ashes, and that's the golden touch, and might be Green Book this year. Don't be surprised to see we're going to get into who's going to be nominated for what in a minute.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back even further, King's Speech, Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, wow.
Amelie, American Beauty, lots of former Oscar winners.
Yeah, so there you go. It's setting the precedent. So now, again, the People's Choice, it's a judge of people that were there that did see these films. They were present at the festival, and I think there's some kind of security check on the ballots to make sure no outsiders got influenced or anything like that, to make sure it's actually the moviegoers who are voting for these. So there is that to take into consideration. Here's my spiel about A Star Is Born. This movie, I'm getting sour on it just because of the overexposure, but I'm trying to resist and play objective because I understand that it's the big picture, right? I understand that's like the movie of the moment.
We haven't even seen the movie
yet. I know, and I'm trying so hard to
you're
be.
You're just a great lawyer.
Oh, man, but it's everywhere, and it kills me. But this movie is not going to be The Silence of the Lambs or Cuckoo's Nest or anything like that. And that's what it's going to have to be. Everybody has it. Cooper's definitely going to win a director. Gaga's going to win lead actor. Cooper's going to be one of the five nominees. This is going to be a best picture contender. It can't be all those things. It just can't.
It's probably not. Probably
right.
not.
And that's kind of my... It's one of those big names that people are sure is going to be in contention is going to lose out pretty badly, I would say. Because otherwise, it would have to be a big five sweep. It'd have to be Cuckoo's Nest right. or Silence of the Lambs or the one in the 30s that was named. I can't remember.
Based on trailers alone. This is just totally off the cuff.
Sure.
Give me best picture, actor, actress, supporting actor, supporting actress, director. I can give you mine. And cinematography. Cinematography is if Beale Street could talk. Best director is if Damien Chazelle again, because I think that's
you are
so
obsessed with that.
Cinematic.
That's fine.
Best picture based on trailers alone is A Star Is Born for me.
Oh man, wow, best, really? You're
best
that
best actor is probably Dafoe. Best actress is I don't know if I'm ready to go Coleman just yet.
I got a lot to say about best actress later too.
All right,
I got
so
a lot to say.
Pause
about
on
it.
Best yeah. actress, but best supporting actress, Regina Hall. I'm loving in that one
she
that
looks
dinner
great.
Table scene.
She look, but that's the thing. See, I can't argue with any of those, right? And I mean, you just sprung that on me, so I'm not prepared. So I'm going to sidestep that. But I can't argue any of those, but that's...
Predict the Oscars, all of them, based on trailers alone.
No!
No timeout.
But that's kind of my point, is that we already have these big names, returning names, first-timer names, new names. A Star Is Born isn't going to sweep everything.
Right.
That's kind of the overlying point, that this could be a good movie, a really good movie that doesn't do what everyone's... I don't even think everyone is realizing what they're doing. Because they're all setting themselves up for a fail right now. Because they're all saying, there's so many pundits saying how Gaga's a shoo-in, Bradley Cooper's a shoo-in, may win too, Best Picture's a shoo-in. And it just can't be. Just by mathematically, it can't be. So that's my little spiel
yeah,
about it.
Unlikely. I would agree with you. I mean, we're going to see the movie. If I think it's an A movie,
oh,
who knows?
Listen, I'd love to be wrong. If this is a blow your socks off movie, I'm all in for it.
I know the story from the Barbra Streisand right. movie. And I hated that film so much. That it's a turned out to be a 40%er.
That was the lowest ranked of the
on
three.
On Netflix. Yeah, I watched it, and it's like 3 hours, and it's terrible. Even though I was sucked into it, watched the whole thing, and I'm drawn to the story. The performance by Barbra is very good. There's so much wrong with that movie, and that story is...
But all you got to do is look into Bradley Cooper's Baby Blues and that southern drawl, and he just wants to take one more look at you.
I do feel like...
Your heart's made... Look, you're getting rosy-cheeked right now!
I do feel like the trailer's immediately fixing so many things wrong with the Barbra Streisand movie on the one hand.
I would love, as always, when I talk badly about a movie, I would love nothing more than to be proven drastically wrong and
yeah.
see a big five
On the
sweep.
Other hand, it's probably not Silence right. of the Lambs. It's probably
yeah.
not
it's
Titanic.
It's my point, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's go Green Book first. That was a surprise. It is carrying right now a 66 Metascore, which is...
This is very weird. So this kind of throws your
odd.
Theory on its
yeah,
head.
Yeah, so odd. But so again, who knows?
But look at this.
100% Rotten Tomato score right
what?
Now. What? 7.7 out of 10. 100%. My God, even for early scores, that's
so 100%, all the critics like it, but they're putting the genre in its place. Like, it's a buddy comedy that we can't love, but we like. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie.
It's a Farrelly Brothers directorial job. It's written by these two journeyman actors. Who
we're pulling for.
Right, yeah. We do have high hopes for kind of have their big come to Jesus moment here. And we're hoping this is their big moment on the stage. So you might be right. There's certainly comedic overtones in the trailers. And so you would think this is going to have funny parts in it. So it could be viewed as a buddy comedy, and it may absolutely be shunned by the genre. I
just wonder if it's a commercial bias yet again, Mike.
Could be.
Best
could
popular
be.
Bias.
They should make a new category is what they should do. Halloween has similar scores to Green Book. Nominate nominated for Best Picture. It's in.
You love that I put Halloween in between Green Book and If Beale Street Could Talk, really don't do. You?
It's in its rightful place in my heart and now on your page, and I appreciate your gesture there. 66 Metascore.
Try to make you
83% happy. Right now on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.2 out of 10 average critics score.
Yeah, all good numbers.
I mean, it's for a horror movie especially, and it's a horror movie that's not going to contend for anything, especially. I've just read recently on IndieWire that David Gordon Green wanted to reshoot the ending of the original 78 movie and have that as the beginning to this film, so it is a direct through line being the next sequel. But John Carpenter was actually the one, this was again an IndieWire article, I'd never heard this story before, but John Carpenter on set had to talk him out of doing that because this price would have been too exorbitant. They were going to use the body double and the computer enhancement to get a young Jamie Lee Curtis back, all this other stuff, blah blah blah. So that's kind of just an interesting nugget. I'm not obsessed with this movie or anything. That's not important.
The socks they wore were the same socks from the 1978 movie. The mask is the same as well.
It's a very good job of emasculating me. Thank you. If Beale Street Could Talk,
I'm nerdy about other things. Nah, I just say I give it to you now, and then I cry later when I get. Get it given to me.
If Beale Street Could Talk, also reviewed heavy 91%, 8.6 out of 10 average score, 86 meta rating.
High numbers. This is quacking like an Oscar duck. Yeah.
This is one.
Nobody understands that analogy. I made it once in an obscure pod, but yeah.
No, I like it. We've been running with it. I think we made
it. It's quacking.
Thing. Yeah. This is definitely looks like and talks like a duck, so we think we're going to see it. Free Solo won the People's Choice Award here at Toronto for the best documentary, 82 meta score, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, 8.7 average critic score. Talking about mountain climbing.
I'm a little upset about this, Michael.
Yeah.
Won't You Be My Neighbor is like one of our favorite documentary experiences in the last 5 years.
Ever. And we didn't even see it in theaters.
We just did. I did.
Oh, you did. I'm sorry. Yes,
we just did an episode on it and gushed.
It's like the perfect uplifting story. Yes.
Loved it. I'm a little jealous of Free Solo now. Because Free Solo is probably a really good documentary, mountain climbing documentary, which might make us poop our pants. So that's another reason I don't like it. But Alex Hanold becomes the first person to climb Yosemite's 3,000-foot El Capitan wall with no safety nets. Sounds, no safety, like Tom Cruise style.
Sounds familiar.
So us and Tom Cruise are going to be in the audience here seeing this movie on opening day, and yet we're going to be like snobby and against it because we want Mr. Rogers to win.
I just
win.
Don't want it right now.
We want Mr.
Except
Rogers
Tom Cruise
to
actually could. But no, your point is well taken. This is, again, we were... Documentary feature is one of those categories that we keep harping on that this is going to be an interesting year for. We think there's a lot of contenders. I'm with you. I don't see how anything could outdo Mr. Rogers, at least that I've seen so far. I'm not sure that the free climbing mountaintop picture is the one, but who knows?
This happened the last time I went to the New York Film Festival, though. Go figure. Pan's Labyrinth, The Lives of Others, nominated for Best Foreign Film in the same year. I was like... There's no way, you know, Pan's Labyrinth's going to lose. I was so in for Pan's Labyrinth.
There you go.
I was Team Guillermo back then. And The Lives of Others, I saw that. I was like, wow, that's a great movie, too. And so, like, two of the best foreign films in the last 5 years come out in the same year.
That was, like, one of the more heralded foreign feature years, too. Those two pictures. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's tough. It happens sometimes.
Look at you, living through history. I have a Madden franchise. And the big one that we kind of want to touch on, we've talked about a lot, as far as wrapping up the film festival trio that we're talking about today, is Widows. It's a People's Choice nominee, 86 meta rating, 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, and an 8.3 critics average.
Just listen to the IndieWire podcast with Ann Thompson and Eric Cohn. They really liked it. They also praise it for being a commercial movie that also has a lot of substance.
I'm so sick of that title. I wish they... respect to them for saying it, but everybody on social media, it's too much of a crowd pleaser. It's not a quote-unquote, it's not an Oscars movie. Why not? Isn't that the point of widening the Academy? And isn't that why we have the Academy Awards every year? To make these things Oscar movies? Like, we could change, people. We could do it. Let's do it.
I don't even need to chime in.
For real.
I feel good.
Let's make this an Oscars movie.
I agree. I don't think a commercial movie should be snubbed or... pushed out of the category
new category for them all.
It's like it goes back to, the extreme end of this is Mission Impossible Fallout, right? Of course, that's probably not getting a lot of Oscar recognition, but it's one of the best action movies well done ever.
Yeah.
Last year, I thought Baby Driver was so well done. Yeah. I knew with Schmevin Schmacy, they were never going to get a chance at anything because he was in it. But I thought that would have been a movie that should have been nominated for more things. I thought that was that well done.
Could say the same about Infinity War this year as well. Yeah, yeah. All kinds of stuff. Mid-90s, I didn't see. That's the last one. 94%. It's Jonah Hill's directorial debut. 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. 7.1 average. 79 Metascore. Very high, especially for a debut picture. A picture that kind of didn't get a lot of... I mean, I only saw this preview at the beginning of 8th grade. That's the first time I was exposed to this movie existing. Sure. Sure. A24 product as well. They're having quite the day in the sun this year.
He's got to be happy. I mean, we're happy for Jonah Hill. He feels like another contemporary of us.
Yeah, no, without question. I'm happy.
Grew up
it.
Watching all of his stuff, and I'm rooting for him. I loved seeing all these actors just taking the reins and getting a chance to direct.
And it's so interesting to see their visions and what, you're going to do a biopic, Jonah Hill, so let's see how Jonah Hill grew up. It's going to be true to his life. David Gordon Green was I almost called him Kenny Powers again, but Danny McBride was a lifelong horror movie fan. They love the Halloween franchise. Now it's your turn to craft it. I can't wait for all of these.
It's just working. Keep going with what's working. It doesn't have to be the same 10 white guys in old Hollywood directing all the movies anymore.
Totally with you. It's totally good with you. All right, so that's the meat of this Hollywood Hot Take episode. Like we said, we wanted to get you the trailers, the reviews, everything that happened with the three major film festivals with New York on the horizon. We wanted to kind of give you a well-rounded roundup. Say that three times fast. It seems like we're molding. If that mural is almost done being painted, now we're kind of getting
pushing for this. we're gonna take the pieces of the wall, and we're gonna take the pieces of the wall and then shrink them and put the picture frames around something.
Well, we had last year. We discovered that we have an Oscars puzzle, right, to do with the voting.
Yeah, that didn't work at all. Did we?
Screw you! I ran.
Isn't antithetical though? Didn't it not fail? It failed.
No, I mean, Get Out won its Oscar. Lady Bird was kind of muscled
out because
of it. It
worked a little bit. All right.
I mean, it had its Oscar moments. Puzzle. But I'm sticking with it. This is the molding of the Oscars. This is the Oscar mural.
Mural. All right. It's on the side of an MMO building.
Yeah. So we wanted to give you the update there. We have a couple other minor stories that you didn't want to spend a ton of time on. The first of those, if you heard our last trailer, one of our last trailers episodes, we came across The Outlaw King, which was Braveheart for Netflix. Mike here was all excited for it.
Yeah.
He couldn't wait.
I was in.
He was so in. He wanted to see it. He said it looks like a great battle scene. It did look impressive in the trailer. And then the reviews came. Rotten Tomatoes carrying a 38% right now. Metacritic at a 58. Matt Goldberg reviewed it for Collider. Said it pretty much lacked substance. Michael, the floor is yours.
The post-William Wallace history. I'm a history buff.
Yes.
We get the Robert the Bruce story in Scotland. There's almost the same dynamic of friends. Like the crazy friend is being played by Aaron Taylor Johnson in this. They're replicating Braveheart a little bit. We got these low angle shots of catapults actually shooting flaming fireballs. Mm-hmm. We got scenes of battle in the trailer with literally looks like, and it's not peppered in or peopled in extras. It looks like fields of battle with a couple hundred dudes, couple hundred people in battle. I mean, we're getting some legitimate production values in this film. It had a rousing trailer. I really going back to Braveheart. I loved it, and I even watched the Outlander show a little bit, and I like Scottish history. I'm Italian and Irish, but I like Scottish history.
Do you think this is a personal insult to you as a fan of
I'm a little upset because I was in for this trailer and I went out on a limb for it.
Yeah.
So now I'm a little embarrassed.
Captain Kirk let you down, man.
You're right. Yeah, you were right that this movie was not going to play so well, and yeah, it didn't. I'm still going to watch it, but...
Yeah, it'll get its due. It's kind of... I'm always surprised when there's something reviewed at a festival that's universally panned. I feel like that's super rare, and this unfortunately seems to be the case here. I would think that there's somebody that's going to have some pull in it trying to lift it up by itself, but everything you've heard about this has just been not so wonderful. So unfortunately, looks like The Outlaw King is one that you can stay out on. I'm sorry.
both had out in the title there.
So talking about New York now for a second, getting back to it, setting the stage for it again. We were talking about going this year. Kind of plans didn't get congealed in time, so now we're putting it off. We're hoping to do it next year. We'll see how that breaks down. But you having been, you're a veteran of the New York Film Festival. You've been a couple times. Is there anything coming out? We got a lot of big names that are coming out for the first time. Obviously, some names that are coming out for the second time being previewed already in Venice or Toronto, something like that. The favorite, Yorgos Lanthimos picture, is going to start off the New York Film Festival. It's going to be the debut, the big centerpiece. So We're getting our first look at a couple impressive titles beyond just The Favorite, though. We got The Watergate Doc, which is going to be debuting there. Her Smell, which is an Elizabeth Moss vehicle, getting a little momentum. The Love Me When I'm Dead, the Orson Welles documentary, which I think was going to focus in part on the movie coming to Netflix.
Yep.
Wildlife, which has gotten some kind of momentum stoppage. The Carey Mulligan, Jake Gyllenhaal picture. Carey Mulligan was supposedly getting a big push for that at one point, and it kind of subsided a little bit. We'll get into why. Tamara Jenkins hasn't done anything since the critical darling that was The Savages, back with Laura Dern and Philip Seymour Hoffman back in 2008. She re-debuts her skills as a director with two fairly underrated thespians. She's using Paul Giamatti and Catherine Hahn this time in Private Life. So, Mike, those titles in mind, something off the top of your head, something else that you're really looking forward to. What do you have outside of The Favorite that you're looking forward to at NYFF this year?
Yeah, Private Life with Tamara Jenkins. She also did The Slums of Beverly Hills. I'm a big fan of hers. I love dramedies. Yes, please, Michael. High Life from Claire Denis, starring Robert Pattinson. That just looks really cool. I think it's going to be good.
Absolutely.
Wildlife, I've said before, Jake Gyllenhaal, Carey Mulligan, they're doing crazy things in that trailer. I'm a little sad to see the buzz subsiding for them.
Yeah, I say that because Will Mavity, I took this, he posted this on Twitter earlier today. He works with Next Best Picture. We're big fans of them. But
yep.
He said that Wildlife actually ended up going to IFC. They were the one that purchased the rights for it. Apparently on IFC's awards page, the page they do their marketing with and do their big pushes through, they're still representing Boyhood and advocating for Boyhood back in like 2012. What was that? 2013? And so he's saying that the funds aren't really going to be put into this movie. IFC isn't really all players in the awards categories. I think it's kind of a fascinating study in that if Carey Mulligan's performance is that good, we're going to see the dichotomy between what actually gets momentum. Is momentum driven by people seeing the performance in the theaters for themselves? Or is it, as like the modern day poets, the Wu-Tang Clan told us, cash rules everything around me, and it's going to depend on how much the studio puts into the marketing push.
If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. If it really goes nuts in New York and they gush over it, maybe then. But you're probably right. It's probably not going to happen. And Will's probably right there. They'll Love Me When I'm Dead. Morgan Neville, we just talked about him. Won't You Be My Neighbor? 20 Feet from Stardom. He's got Oscar contenders, Oscar winners. And now he's doing the Orson Welles doc. So, again, another bio documentary this year.
Yeah.
A lot of good ones, and I'm fascinated to see what happens. So we're going to put this thing together, Mike, talk about the Feinberg forecast, kind of finish our Oscar segments now. He has Black Panther, Black Klansman, Eighth Grade, and shockingly, A Quiet Place.
I don't get that
his
either,
best
man.
Picture 10 right now. Maybe he just hasn't seen everything, but the rest of the movies.
Because once he sees that.
So I'm glad to see those four movies getting buzz. We kind of liked them for the most part. A Quiet Place is why I say kind of. We love the other three. Black Klansman was a strong review from us. Black Panther was one of your favorite movies of the year. And, of course,
it.
Eighth Grade. That's probably one of both of our favorite movies of the year.
Without question.
I don't get why A Quiet Place is up there. But he's reporting on buzz.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I'm buying it. I would love to pick Feinberg's brain and just figure out how he gets into this. I went back and listened to our review after looking at
no better
Feinberg's
pundit
list.
Out there, man.
I know. And I don't. He knows, obviously. He knows his stuff. So he's getting it from somewhere. But I went back and listened to our review of A Quiet Place. We put it through the Oscar Sprint profile. Both of us were very high on it. We liked it. But neither one of us were even really close to giving it an A-. I mean, it's B pluses from both of us. I was actually a point higher than you, rarely.
Sure.
But it's because it's a horror movie and I'm a easy shell. So.
No, it's, honestly, I added a point since then. I'll be honest. I was thinking
so it's
back
even gained
to it.
Even
yeah.
more for you. Oh, that's
I was like, you know what? This is so strong. I shouldn't get so mad at the beginning stuff, you know, that didn't make sense and that I criticized other critics for getting, you know, bent out of shape about early, you know, illogical flaws in a movie.
You're becoming more holy. You're looking at things
more
objectively.
Well, I'm trying to be more objective. Yeah.
That's
and I'm
nice.
Trying to, you know, forgive more and be more film appreciation, which is the whole reason for this goddamn podcast. Goddamn podcast. Anyway, Roma, A Star Is Born, First Man, The Favorite, Green Book, Cold War. They're the other six to make that top 10 in Best Picture. Those are big names. We haven't seen any of them yet, but it makes some sense. Roma and Cold War would be a surprise double foreign film feature.
You can look forward to Oscar Sprint profiles, I would guess, for every single one of those in the coming months.
Yes, sir. Best Director, Spike Lee and Ryan Coogler are in Feinberg's Five.
So cool.
So that's cool. Again, movies from earlier in the year. Spike Lee for Black Klansman. We raved about his direction
awesome
in that
movie,
one. Coogler co-written and directed
awesome job
Black Panther. I just rewatched Black Panther again over the weekend.
Does it hold up? Rave.
It holds up pretty well, yeah.
Nice.
I really enjoyed it. Showed it to some people, and they liked it too.
Good to hear.
Bradley Cooper, Alfonso Cuarón, Damien Chazelle. That would make a record, Michael. 4 out of 5 directors whose last name begins with a C. This is the hot take you've been waiting for, Hollywood Hot Takes. There you go, Oscar freaks.
Tired of you calling us freaks. Can we live? Just let us live. We like counting Oscars.
Coogler, Cooper, Cuarón, Chazelle. C makes 2 sounds. Oh, I'm such a nerd.
Good job.
Best actor, Viggo Mortensen is in there. I was surprised. I figured he would go for best supporting actor. Mahershala Ali would be a best actor. They have it the other way around right now.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of contention, too, about that.
Well, Linda Cardellini is a big character in the movie Green Book, right?
Okay.
She, being a big character, I guess maybe it's about Viggo, because you got a big role for Linda Cardellini, so Viggo's probably the protagonist, and Mahershala Ali is like the mentor character or something.
Alex Billington of FirstShowing.net says it's definitely a Viggo-led movie. Mahershala Ali is definitely a supporting character. Brian Tellerico, who's the editor of RogerEbert.com, says it's a co-lead situation. I'm seeing a lot more. It's a Viggo lead.
In buddy comedies where you have to become friends,
yeah.
Buddy love, just like a romance, kind of the two characters
Us.
Are protagonist, antagonist, right?
Yeah. Right. So, and you know the studio is not going to position them in the same category. So it's really kind of a moot point.
What I'm saying, they're both main characters.
Right.
It's just weird that we make lead.
It's a matter of semantic, absolutely.
Yes. Best actress, Glenn Close is still up there. I love
Holla.
It. We're going to review The Wife pretty soon, this week, next week. We'll see.
Sure will.
Olivia Colman, Lady Gaga, Julia Roberts, Yalitza Aparicio. Aparico from Roma. That's the other 4. You're upset. I'm upset.
I mean, come on. Scotty.
Well, Scotty's reporting what he's hearing, and he is the reason, Michael, why the Oscars are so chalk, why there's no surprises anymore. He's one of those reasons. It's Scott Feinberg. It's his great reporting.
He
we
is.
We love
he's,
him. I've been reading him for like,
and
I've been
he's
reading
so
him
good
for
at
years.
He's infuriatingly good
yes.
at what he does. But I cannot wrap my head around, and you're right, he's reporting on the buzz.
Right.
So it's stuff other people are saying, not necessarily his predictions. And that blows my mind even more, because how can people
Tony,
as a whole
where's Tony?
Not see Toni Collette and Hereditary as one of the lead 5 performances
yeah,
right now?
To me, Toni Collette is like an all-timer.
I mean, it's a performance that's perfect to a fault for a horror movie, and it's irreplaceable because nobody else could have done what she did in that movie in that role. I mean, that's gospel.
Agreed.
Which is what Panic at the Disco was singing about years ago. That's not important. That's a music joke. Toni Collette deserves recognition and
it's
nomination.
It's a next level joke. Yeah, she does. We went
I don't get
crazy
it.
Over a 2-part pod on Hereditary. Listen to all our reasons why. We're going to just break it down for you for the rest of the year. To me, that's an all-timer.
I'm with you. I'm shocked by that.
Is it just because it's a hardcore horror genre movie
and
that
people
are not seeing
that
it?
Way. If people still feel that way because of that, that means Widows has no chance. And you don't see Viola Davis's name.
True.
You know, I mean, that to me is sad. I hope we're beyond that. We'll see what happens.
Supporting actor, we have Chalamet for Beautiful Boy. That answers the question of him or Carell,
mm-hmm.
who's another name we're not hearing. Ali from Green Book. Richard E. Grant. The highlight for
you
me,
touch
from,
on, yeah.
Can You Ever Forgive Me? I'm about to read his book. I just bought it, The Wawa Diaries on Audible there, about making a movie.
It's about a service station in the Midwest area. You get
no
set.
Idea. Just it. Richard E. Grant's making a movie with his, like a guerrilla filmmaking.
Shout out to
I'm
Central
in.
Jersey and Philadelphia area. Ate a lot of Wawa hoagies growing up.
I like Wawa. Back in the day, my grandparents, they went to like Costco and Wawa. They went to 2 stores.
If there was a Wawa around here, I'm a big guy, I would weigh 500 pounds.
There's one in New Haven. That's the only one that I know of. Still,
there's one in Connecticut,
Route 34. Isn't there a Wawa?
No,
oh, it's gone.
It's gone. That used to be there.
I always assumed
when I was a kid. Yeah,
that was a Wawa.
It's gone. Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan, and Sam Elliott in Best Supporting Actor as well. You're kind of, any snubs, notable snubs that I didn't see here?
Not snubs, but Sam Elliott. I have heard zero momentum for Sam
Elliott. Steve Carell is not in here.
Steve Carell, yeah, it's a snub. But A Star Is Born, I mean, it's got to be Cuckoo's Nest for it to do. That's what I said before. It's got to be that level of good for Sam Elliott to get this nomination. And Gaga, Cooper, Best, but yeah, I don't see it, but we haven't seen it yet, so who knows? It could be the greatest film of all time.
It's the greatest trailer in a while, so that's all I'm saying. Claire Foy seems to be the front runner for Best Supporting Actress right now, according to Scott Feinberg. Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz are both in for a favorite. Marina de Tavira makes it from Roma, which makes me want to see that performance more.
Is really cool to see.
And yeah, I'm buying Regina King stock if Beale Street could talk. She's awesome in that trailer, and she's got such a great career, and she's done so many character actor things, and she's done, and her role in The Leftovers, she's awesome in that. I've loved her whole career. The guys on Next Best Picture, who we really like, said probably Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz, neither of them get nominated because of some push. Again, they're all on the inside baseball with studios not pushing them and pushing others. And
they want to play for the lead as opposed to... You don't see Yorgos' name really up there yet anyway.
No.
I mean, I would be surprised if Emma Stone's an Oscar darling. You know, not only... I mean, she doesn't need them.
The Coen brothers' facial expressions out of both of them.
Yeah. Yeah,
Rachel Weisz has been doing good role after good role these last few years. So
my cousin Rachel, she was great. That was underseen, but she was great.
It's like, does that happen? Like, can Kristen Stewart just be really, really good in, seven movies over the last 2 years and then break through? Rachel Weisz seems like she's doing that.
We're saying Rachel Weisz. Claire Foy is another one that we like to see that happen. But you had trouble picking, when you were running through your leaders in the clubhouse right now, you had trouble picking supporting actress and actress.
Michelle Yeoh is my favorite so far.
But we're getting spoiled these last couple of years is my point. I mean, the actor side of stuff, both the supporting and the lead have kind of been determined the last couple. I mean, Leo was determined out the gate. Gary Oldman was determined out the gate.
Yep.
Sam Rockwell last year for supporting actor, determined out the gate. But you look at last year's supporting actress, I mean, the lead actress, we had the three-headed monster of I, Tonya, Three Billboards, and Lady Bird. You look at supporting actress, it was supposed to be Laurie Metcalf last year, but then the awards, the Critics' Choice, all that happened, it was Allison Janney.
Yep.
So we've been spoiled with great actress performances in both categories the last few years. Truth. I think this year is going to be another slugfest.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see it shape up, but I wonder if by Feinberg forecast 7, it's going to be a done deal. Yet again, Claire Foy or whoever it is.
It's a gift and a curse is what Scott Feinberg has to work with.
Best animated feature, sure. Incredibles 2, sure. Isle of Dogs, we projected those as well. Scott's not so good. We also projected those. Anyway, we'll review in Netflix.
I would give a pinky to talk to Scott Feinberg is what I'm saying.
Truth. He likes some of our tweets.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Makes us way too happy.
Oh, way too happy. Yeah. Goes directly to our heads.
Anyway, White Fang came out on Netflix. Pretty good White Fang adaptation there. Netflix Quarterly 3, you'll hear my full review on that.
You were high on that.
Yep, Ralph Breaks the Internet and Mirai. We're going to review the Mirai trailer in the next Oscar trailers episode.
Yeah.
They've been buzzed about quite a bit there.
The Mike Spiracy hat is on, though. There's no way that they're going to bend, the Oscars as a whole is going to bend to Disney's whims about, hey, can you make this 3 hours hard, make it a hard 3 hours, and not just give them an Oscar on top of it, especially if Black Panther doesn't actually go in the running for Best Picture. Disney's walking away with an Oscar, so this is going to be a Disney category. It's either going to be Incredibles 2 or
probably,
Ralph.
Yeah, probably. Best documentary, again, I'm kind of mad that Won't You Be My Neighbor is not the prohibitive favorite here. I don't know if he just ranks them or just puts them in the top 10, but he has a short list. Quincy, I'm sure it's good. Trailer looks fantastic about Quincy Jones, the longtime composer and musician.
It was done by his daughter, Rashida Jones, Parks and Rec fame.
Love.
I just wonder how much of a prisoner of the moment we are with that kind of stuff. Because that was
another biodoc too, Mike.
Out of nowhere, too. It didn't really have a lot of buzz. It comes out, I think it was Toronto that it played. And everybody loved it. Toronto just ended, and this was kind of out of nowhere, a surprise.
A lot of buzz for this movie, and Won't You Be My Neighbor buzz.
Exactly.
I
imagine when it comes down to it, in long term, that Mr. Rogers is going to be the favorite.
Scott, Mike, and Oscar just did an episode on Won't You Be My Neighbor. There's some buzz for you.
Yeah, listen to us.
We're going to review RBG probably at some point through Identical Strangers.
Which has fallen off the map, by the way.
Really?
I mean,
it's in the short list here.
But have you heard anybody talking about it, reviewing it, looking at it, passing comment on it? I mean, we're on film Twitter every single day. It's just kind of gone. I forgot about it.
It's still playing in theaters, which is crazy.
That's true.
Anyway, Minding the Gap was on Hulu. Science Fair and McQueen are two others we've previewed before. They're also on the short list there. You know, follow Scott Feinberg, number one, so you can get these lists yourself.
If you're listening to us, you know who Scott Feinberg is.
Yeah, so I think RBG and Won't You Be My Neighbor, something like Quincy, makes sense to me. I still think there's going to be an issue movie coming out that's going to be in a top.
This was your take on one of the last trailer ones we did. It's a lot of biopic documentaries.
Last year we had three Syrian documentaries that were vying for it. We had multiple issue movies. Is this going to be the year of the biodoc?
Could be. Maybe shaping up to be, certainly.
Five biodocs. Yeah. Who knows? You know, Free Solo, of course, is in that shortlist as well. So last category here on the Feinberg Forecast, number two, best foreign language film, Roma, Girl, Border, Burning, Shoplifters, Birds of Passage, Never Look Away, Sobibor, and Graves Without a Name. Why isn't Cold War on this list? I don't know if it just didn't get nominated for its... for Poland yet, maybe.
And this is part of the reason I go back to
it's gotta be a technicality.
I would love to pick his brain about where his sources, you know, what, just how he does this, not necessarily who his sources are, but like what he listens to, because Cold War not being on this
he
list,
he just talks to an Oscar in his home.
It's like a magic eight ball. He just shakes it and it gets answers.
He's just a crazy person talking to an Oscar and he's told nobody else.
Not a crazy person, just an unbelievably accurate person.
No, he would be a prophet if that was the case.
I mean, but that's what I mean. Like, he's got there's no skepticism about A Star Is Born. There's no Cold War in the foreign feature. There's no Toni Collette, and he obviously he's confident in these. I just would love to know more about it, because it just, he's always right, and we can only predict. So who knows?
Yes. Yeah, so Feinberg's forecast, The Hollywood Reporter. Read that. That was kind of our centerpiece there.
So as a means of wrapping up, that's all we have. That's kind of went a little long in this take, so we're gonna chop it off right here, and that'll be the Hollywood hot takes portion of our ramblings, because we went for probably another half hour or so, which you guys have already listened to, and you know we got a little silly.
The Hollywood not takes, yes.
The Hollywood.
They're not takes.
That's pretty much how we can sum them up. But these are, I mean, this is good news and information. This is more serious, though. We're dealing with the Oscars mural, category, puzzle, however you want to talk about it and define it. That's kind of what we're dealing with here. It's starting to take shape. New York Film Festival just a couple weeks away.
The Oscar mural might not be a take as well. I'm just saying.
Then I will find a new simile. Fine. But yes, guys, reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us. You can reach out to us about these topics, anything from the not takes episode or any from the retrospectives that we've done. We've been pumping out OSPs or regular movie event pods. Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on the Twitter machine, Mike and Oscar at gmail.com, Mike and Oscar.com, Mike and Oscar on Reddit. We are on TuneIn, SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, pretty much anywhere you hear podcasts.
Yeah, words of wisdom. Read Scott Feinberg.
Yes, I can't think of better words of wisdom for following the Academy Awards and following this Oscar season. And
Hollywood Reporter.
We're helping you make this award season year round. And guys, we will check you out next time. And thanks for checking in.
See ya. We're far from the shallow.